Couple extensions on this random Tuesday in July. Garrett Wilson and Sauce Gardner getting extensions from the Jets. Sauce Gardner being paid now, or now the highest paid cornerback in the NFL. And on the AFC, Trey Smith getting his extension, 4 years, 90 mil. After this, NFL honors. Who do we have winning NFL MVP, Offensive Player of the Year, Defensive Player of the Year? More on that. This is the Fumble Rooster Podcast.
It may not have always showed it in the stat sheet, but you can see him making throws when he needs to make the throws.
Back-to-back games where he has 3 touchdowns.
Someone's got to get that 6 or 7 spot.
He's an elite wide receiver as a rookie.
Truly a lose-lose scenario for both sides.
Chris Kostich, he's CJ Medeiros. Today's July 15th. Sorry, I like lost a little bit there. I don't know how much I cut out for a second, but either way, July 15th, beautiful July Tuesday, to say the least. CJ, you staying cool over there?
Yeah, well, as cool as possible. You know how these New England summers are. Could be worse. We could be in like the deep, deep south, but you know. Just gotta stay cool wherever you can, man.
Yeah, about like I'm at my girlfriend's house right now. It's cool, 90 degrees in Boston at the moment. It's slick, to say the least. But yeah, if you heard the intro, Garrett Wilson, Sauce Gardner. We'll start with the Jets since both of those happen within an hour of each other, pretty much.
Not really.
I don't know. I
Sauce just happened today. Well, Garrett Wilson didn't happen today. Within like 48, maybe, but
yeah. Anyways, Garrett Wilson signing a 4-year, $130 million extension. Sauce Gardner signing a 4-year, $120.4 million extension. Sauce Gardner extension making him the highest paid cornerback in the league. Wasn't all time, right?
I don't think so. It just said in the league.
Yeah, that's what I thought too. Because it would have been ridiculous if he was the highest paid cornerback of all time. B, it's a little ridiculous that he's the highest paid cornerback in the league to begin with. But at the same time, you know, resetting the cornerback market at that point. So kind of a good thing. But if you're, say, the Patriots, well, kind of looking at who you got at corner, you got Christian Gonzalez, who's about to be in his third year. People are going to be making the argument that Christian Gonzalez is a better cornerback than Sauce Gardner. I mean, you could probably throw 5 cornerbacks out there that are better than Sauce Gardner in general, maybe even 10. So there's going to be a lot of new highest paid cornerbacks in the league coming up probably within the next 2 years. But
yeah, I would imagine so, because originally Derek Stingley set the market, and now it's Sauce. And if I had to guess, I feel like Gonzalez is probably next up. Did McDuffie get an extension? Because if not, he's probably going to be up there as well. And the thing with Sauce is that he's never really been able to recapture that magic of his rookie year. I mean, he's statistically like declined or whatever. He's never really been a ball hawk. And a lot of people say, well, that's not important for a corner. It's like, yes and no. Because look, I know there's this fallacy where, if they rack up a lot of interceptions, it means quarterbacks willing to target them and they don't respect them. And while that's been proven false many and many a time, if you're not, Sauce is on the other end of that spectrum where he just doesn't force turnovers. He's just not that big of a difference maker. And everyone's like, but he can erase players. It's like, okay, he did, but look at what happened last year. The refs finally like started throwing flags against him, because a big crux of his game is just the fact that he gets away with so many holding penalties. And then when the flag started flying against him, oh boy, did it change fast. Now, personally, I think it's going to change because, you know, now that Aaron Glenn's going to be the head coach, I'm thinking that he could definitely teach Sauce to avoid that and maybe become more of a difference maker. But don't get me wrong, he's still a good corner, like at least top five, top 10, slam dunk. But I'm not sure how I feel about him getting $30.1 million a season when he peaked his rookie year and still hasn't been able to get over that or get past
it. You mentioned Trent McDuffie. He's on the final year of his rookie contract, still has not gotten an extension yet. Talk about a fifth-year contract option for this season, which he would get $13.6 million on that. But another article that came out back in April from Forbes, Chiefs All-Pro Trent McDuffie would love a long-term contract with the Chiefs. So, to your point, it's coming, potentially.
Yeah, possibly. The thing is, though, Kansas City, you saw what happened. They let L'Jarius Sneed walk. They traded him.
So, either way, they got rid of him.
Yeah, so the thing is, they're not afraid of shedding talent, which is why, as a Pats fan, you mentioned Gonzalez. My immediate instinct was I literally just said, well, bye-bye, Gonzo. There's, you know, when I saw that contract. And New England, more so than Kansas City, is a history of not re-signing their good defensive back. Correct me if I'm wrong, but the last corner, like pure corner that they drafted who got a second deal, I'm pretty sure was Ty Law. That was back in the day. Because Asante Samuel was allowed to walk. Keith Lee was allowed to walk. Darrell Revis was allowed to walk. Malcolm Butler was allowed to walk. Stephon Gilmore was allowed to walk. J.C. Jackson was allowed to walk. As a fan, I'm like bracing myself, but overall, this is more of a sauce thing than whatever. So the Jets, I think, did a good move by, you know, hurting their enemies with the Pats and the Chiefs. But we should probably move on to Garrett Wilson now, I think.
Yeah. I was trying to look up Patriots cornerbacks that have gone a second contract. But that's probably going to be take a little too long to try to dig for.
Yeah. Also, I don't count UDFAs, though. I don't. But keep going.
So Garrett Wilson, four-year, $130 million extension. Pretty sure it was – no, never mind. I was thinking of the Sauce Gardner one. But, yeah, four-year, $130 million extension. This kind of goes hand-in-hand with the Sauce deal as well. Like, you got to pay your guys the big bucks to keep them. And we were talking about this before the show, too. Like, damned if you do, damned if you don't. Yada, yada, yada. Now, the question of if Garrett Wilson should be getting paid $130 mil total, that's different. That's kind of up for debate. But either way, the Jets are doing what they need to do and keeping their homegrown guys so they can at least – because right now this is their building blocks. They're currently trying to rebuild. They're in a rebuilding stage. What do you do first? Sign the homegrown guys. Lock those guys in. Those are going to be the guys that are going to help set the culture. So that's another thing that I kind of see with these two happening within a couple days of each other.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, you know, this was the deadline to get it done, which is probably why, you know, it happened. So honestly, I can't fault the Jets for doing it. It's just, I don't care if they have a new head coach. They're a directionless team. You know what I mean? Obviously, they're not going to compete for anything this year. They're certainly not bad enough to tank. What's the goal? What's the prize? What do you want to do this year? Because don't say Super Bowl or bust. You're not. You're not going to that.
That's not realistic.
Yeah, no, and you can't tank for a good pick, so you could land like Arch Manning or Garrett Nussmeier in the draft. So the only reason why I don't like this is because I don't know like where they're going. But that's neither here nor there. It's still smart. And there is one more person we got to talk to before we wrap up the segment, and that's Trey Smith. That's pretty much it. He got like a 4-year, $90 million deal, $70 million guaranteed. He's a top three guard in the league, and that's good. But when I saw this, and I'm like, isn't this the guy that got bullied by the Eagles? Him and Joe Tooney on that left side just got embarrassed. Or not left side, he's a right guard, but you know. He got embarrassed. That entire line got embarrassed. So Kansas City better put a clause in that contract that says, hey, man, no more of that.
Yeah.
Or
I mean, I don't really fault Joe Tooney. He was playing out of position. But, yeah, so kind of the same thing with Garrett Wilson, Sauce Gardner, right? Chiefs franchise tag, Trey Smith, before free agency or just the offseason in general started. Now they do right – buy him and get him paid. That's really the long and short, really.
Yeah, you're right. But
anything else you want to touch on?
Thing, I think we're pretty much good there. What's coming next?
NFL honors. Our picks of who's winning awards like MVP, Comeback Player of the Year, Coach of the Year, Lamar getting a third. Who knows? Stick around.
It may not have always showed it in the stat sheet, but you can see him making throws when he needs to make the throws.
Back-to-back games where he has 3 touchdowns.
Someone's got to get that 6 or 7 spot.
He's an elite wide receiver as a rookie.
Truly a lose-lose scenario for both sides.
Welcome back to the Fumble Rooster Podcast. He's CJ Medeiros. I'm Chris Kostich. Time for our NFL honors segment. This whole... We've been doing a bunch of different segments throughout the offseason, for the offseason, really. You know, we got done talking about all the divisions, doing a preview on that, gave our NFL rankings last week, NFL team rankings last week for all 32 teams. So if you want to take a peek at that, that was from last week's episode. Today, we give our predictions of who's going to win each of the NFL awards. Not named the Walter Payton Man of the Year Award. And we weren't going to do the new Lyman Award that they're doing as well. What is that award again called?
It's called like Protector of the Year or something weird like that.
We're not going to do that one because that's going to be a shit show to figure out. And that's going to come down to like the most advanced analytics you could think of. So yeah, we'll get started with that. Wait. Which one should we start with first?
We're starting with Rookies of the Year, according to Adam.
All right, Rookies of the Year. I'll go first with the Offensive Rookie of the Year. And actually, we both had the same Offensive Rookie of the Year. Now, come to think of it, it's Ashton Jeanty.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, who else is it really going to be? And look, I know we've been burned on people like Bijan Robinson before, but hear me out. Ashton Jeanty is just different. That's really it. Ashton Jeanty is literally just different. Now, consider this, if you would, viewers at home. I would say that Jeanty... combined with a head coach and offensive coordinator, establishing a very safe, very run-first offense with Geno Smith, who now is a real running game, coupled with the fact that your top target is tight end Brock Bowers, that's got all the makings for Offense Rookie of the Year, especially if you saw Jeanty at Boise State. That's different. The only red flag is that he's not going to have to play San Jose State and Wyoming now, but real NFL teams. But running backs, they tend to translate pretty well, especially in this era.
Yeah, I'm very excited to watch Ashton Jeanty. He's so electrifying, especially this last year in college. And I just think, like, just him being coached by a legend in Pete Carroll, even if it's just for his rookie season, could pay in a lot of dividends to a huge breakout rookie year, which obviously we're predicting. And hopefully for a very fruitful NFL career. But that's obviously depends on, you know, how this rookie year goes. But I wanted to ask one question to you, though, before we moved on to Defensive Rookie of the Year.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of does tie into Defensive Rookie of the Year. And it's Travis Hunter, right? Because chances are he's going to play both sides of the ball. So I guess what are the chances that he could – I'm not saying win both, but win one or the other?
I would say fairly good. At least in both. No way, though. The NFL would never let that happen.
No, no. All right, Defensive Rookie of the Year. Who do you have?
All right, I went a little off the wall for Defensive Rookie of the Year. Give me Ravens edge rusher Mike Green. This dude, even though I thought he was a little overrated, he was still worth a first-round pick. And he's going to Baltimore. Right, and that's just going to be a great place for him to thrive, is it not?
Yeah.
100%. And the fact that Baltimore has a reputation of physicality, you know, they're a real slap-you-in-the-face team. They have that murder mentality that tends to be how they are. You know, that's just the culture they've curated, just tough, tough, tough. And Mike Green fits the bill. The only thing I'm concerned about is will the league let him win? Because in case you don't know, in college, he was accused of being a bit of a diddler. So those are the kind of things that the media really doesn't like to, you know, reward. But I feel like in the NFL, you kind of get a blank slate there.
Yeah, I feel like that doesn't usually take too much of an effect. I feel like a lot of, like, take Cam Newton, for example. Like, he gets, what was it? He got caught shoplifting when he was down in Florida. And then it kind of just wiped away once he got to Auburn / the league. So, kind of like what you said, blank slate once you get in the league. I went not so rogue for mine. I just kept it pretty simple. I'm not saying your pick is rogue, CJ, but I kept it more within the lines. I went Abdul Carter with my Defensive Rookie of the Year. Just an absolute beast at the edge. And I just think of him on this Giants defense. Like, we talked all year last year how underrated defense is and how often the defense kept the Giants in games. And I think you add Abdul Carter into that mix, and I think it's just going to be fireworks. Absolute fireworks. I'm not saying Abdul Carter's getting 20 sacks like Strahan did, but I think he's going to really, really excel on that Giants defensive line. What the hell are you laughing about?
Sorry, I have to get the whatever it's called. I was turning the volume up on my computer. I was wondering why I was having audio issues. I'm like, oh, wait a minute. My volume.
Oh, I see.
I'm stupid.
It's okay. We all have those moments. We're going to – do you want to make a comment about Abdul Carter or
– No, I mean, I feel like it's the safe bet. It's just – I am a little worried about his development because, you know –
It's the Giants.
Giants, but yeah, I think he should be fine. Yeah. I understand why he's first, though. I mean, he was a beast at Penn State.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he's the betting favorite right now, too.
He is, yes.
Yeah. All right. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to get into we're going to give our comeback player of the year and our coach of the year predictions. This is the Full Moves Podcast.
It may not have always showed it in the stat sheet, but you can see him making throws when he needs to make the throws.
Back-to-back games where he has 3 touchdowns. Someone's got to get that 6th or 7th spot.
He's an elite wide receiver as a rookie.
Truly a lose-lose scenario for both sides.
Welcome back. Welcome back to the Fumble Rooster Podcast. CJ Medeiros, Chris Kostich. I kind of screwed up. We're going to get into the players of the year first, and then we're going to get into comeback player of the year and coach of the year. Screwed up the system for a second there. Offense player of the year, CJ and I had the same guy, Ja'Marr Chase. Seeing how he performed this year, I think it's going to be hard to say that that he won't get it, especially if the same thing happens this year like it did last year, where just Joe Burrow and the rest of the offense is just putting up absolute numbers, points, yards, touchdowns. I can see it happening. And obviously, CJ, you do too.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, everyone, you know, the fantasy nerds will say stuff like, oh, but Higgins is a handcuff. He's going to be eating into his targets. And they use that argument for these real life problems, to which I say, yeah. And look at what happened last year. Ja'Marr Chase still ate. And, you know, now that he's got his deal, man, he and Burrow just could take it to the next level, 110%.
Yeah. I feel like it's kind of like the top five wide receivers, right? Like, you could really have. Yeah. Like, I think if it wasn't Ja'Marr, I would have put Justin Jefferson there. But he has the actual problem. You know, you mentioned, like, a lot of people argue that T. Higgins going to eat into his catches and yada, 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 which doesn't actually happen. Whereas Justin Jefferson, his problem isn't Jordan Addison. His problem is how J.J. McCarthy is going to perform this year. That's his problem. And that's probably what's going to limit him from winning Offensive Player of the Year, if he would be up for it. Defense Player of the Year. Now, this is different. I know that for a fact. I'm going back-to-back Pat Surtain. Because when you look at the numbers right now, he's putting up near Champ Bailey numbers, if he isn't already. And if we see this continue to progress – I don't see if he has a pretty much the same thing as Ja'Marr Chase, right? He has the same year as last year where he's putting up these very relative Champ Bailey numbers. He's going to wipe the floor again on Defensive Player of the Year.
Yeah, personally, it's hard to go back to back, especially as a DB. You know what I mean, Chris? DBs especially, like, it's a tough ask.
That's why I want me to
in the realm of possibility, but I don't know.
If you want me to consider this a hot take, there's my hot take. Considering
fair enough
that it doesn't happen very often. Like, Stephon Gilmore won it 1 year, and then the next year it was probably TJ Watt or something like that, or Myles Garrett. That just an example, but
For me on Defensive Player of the Year, I personally am going to go with Micah Parsons. And I know that's a bit controversial, and I know that, you know, I've picked him in the past only for him to really only end up being top three. But consider this, my fellow Americans. He's in a contract year. And, Chris, you know the rules, and so do I, to quote Rick Astley.
Yep.
Players in their contract year just ball out. That's just what they do. No one knows why. No one knows how. But they must have money on their mind because, oh, my God, they just tend to go off. And I'm thinking about that with Michael Parsons. Because, look, they gave Dak his – new extension. CD Lamb just got paid. And if you're Micah Parsons, you're sitting there and you're saying, huh? How come I'm not getting paid? And you know he's going to be motivated. So give me Parsons.
I like that.
Yeah.
I have no disagreements there. I especially with Parsons, like, he was hurt for a lot of last year too. So I think this is a good, like, a good year for him to kind of do it, as you just excel, mm-hmm. especially with the contract here. I did a quick search because I was thinking about Champ Bailey still and want to see how many defense player of the years he won. He's actually never won defense player of the year. And I completely forgot about this because the year in question that he probably would have won it was 2006. Oh. But he didn't win that year. And a lot of people thought he got snubbed to Jason Taylor.
Remember that name? Well, he did get snubbed, but whatever.
Yeah. Jason Taylor, what a legend. We don't talk about him enough.
Yeah, no. He's underrated, but still, Champ probably got snubbed.
Yeah, he got snubbed. 10 interceptions. Come on. Anyways, going to take a quick break. Now we're going to, when we come back, we're going to get into Comeback Player of the Year and Coach of the Year. This is the Full Moves Podcast.
And MVP.
It may not have always showed it in the stat sheet, but you can see him making throws when he needs to make the throws.
Back-to-back games where he has 3 touchdowns. Someone's got to get that 6th or 7th spot.
He's an elite wide receiver as a rookie.
Truly a lose-lose scenario for both sides.
Welcome back to the Full Moves Podcast. He's CJ, I'm Chris. Powered by Dean Radio, Secret Weapon Consulting. I want to apologize for all the mishaps and me lying to you about what's coming up next. I'll take the blame on screwing up Comeback Player of the Year and Coach of the Year with the Players of the Year part. But after that, the MVP part, I got the schedule screwed up that Adam sent us. Adam, our glorious executive producer. Comeback Player of the Year and Coach of the Year. We both have the same one. It's Aiden Hutchinson. I feel like it'd be a crime if he doesn't end up having like 15-plus sacks this season and absolutely put the whole league in an absolute whirlwind, because that's how freaking good he was. Mm-hmm. Look at his stats before. Look at his stats before he got injured, and he was winning Defensive Player of the Year by a landslide easily. At least he was on pace for that.
If he kept that pace, he absolutely would have, which is also why I have him there. The only thing that concerns me is that those types of injuries, even though he was like an early season ACL tear, that's what got him, right? I believe it was an ACL tear. And when it happens earlier in the year, usually it's fine. That means you're going to be ready for the next season, no problem. But there's usually a bit of an off-ish year, but I still think he's going to get at least 10-plus sacks. So that's Comeback Player of the Year material for sure.
100%. And then we had the same one for Coach of the Year, so this is going to be pretty easy as well. Let's say it together.
Mike Vrabel. Yeah, no, it was Mike Vrabel. Yeah. Absolutely. It was Mike Vrabel. Who else was it going to be?
Yeah, I feel like of all the new coaches that were hired through the coaching carousel, this is obviously the top, if not the top guy, one of the top guys to go and get, in which the Patriots did that. And of course, with everything that they did this offseason, kind of is moving in a direction where the Patriots are going to be in a great spot and hopefully perform well. And I think that just having Mike Vrabel there, he's going to coach the Patriots into a lot of wins.
Yeah.
And I think that's good. And that's usually what happens with Coach of the Year, right? Mm-hmm. It's usually a lot of the time the first year head coach
it's always the best new coach, not necessarily who has the most wins, which I say this every year. That's something I have a problem with, but as a whole,
there's times where it's not that, obviously, like Kevin Stefanski won it back to back. I forget. He won it the year that a couple years ago.
He won it with the Flacco run year. He did that.
Yeah. That's probably the most, obviously it's the most recent time where it wasn't like a new head coach. But it just feels like it's bound to happen. Like,
yeah. And for what it's worth, the reason that I picked Vrabel and not Ben Johnson for the Bears is that Mike Vrabel is a known commodity. You know what you're getting with Mike Vrabel. Ben Johnson, I mean, you can say the same thing for Vrabel, but there's even less of a guarantee that Ben Johnson is good. I'm not saying he's going to suck. I'm not. Yeah. Also, let's just say the Bears and the Pats have the same record. It would be a more impressive feat from Vrabel to do that, considering the fact that he started with less. That's my
100%. Yeah. I feel like if you were to just like line up like Mike Vrabel and like let's look at a list of all the new coaching hires, right? Coaching hires 2025.
Well, yeah, it's him, Liam Cullen on the Jags, Dallas hired Schottenheimer, the Saints hired Kellen Moore, Jets hired Aaron Glenn, and Raiders hired Pete Carroll.
Okay. I'm going to go through the list. Mike Vrabel or Schottenheimer?
Huh?
Vrabel or Schottenheimer?
What's your question again? Like, regarding?
Who would you take? Who would you take? We're just going to play
a Vrabel. All
right. Vrabel or Cohen?
Vrabel.
Vrabel or Kellen Moore?
Vrabel.
Vrabel or Aaron Glenn?
Still Vrabel.
Vrabel or Ben Johnson?
That's the toughest part, but I'm going to lean toward Vrabel because, like I said, Ben Johnson is just not a known commodity. You have no idea what you're going to get.
Vrabel or Pete Carroll?
Ooh. As a coach or what I'm expecting? Because as a coach, I'm tilting towards Pete Carroll, but for expectations, I would go with Vrabel. Because yeah, Carroll, like I said, the Raiders aren't really an ambitious team. They're just trying to get a clean slate before they pivot to the future. This Pete Carroll's essentially on cleanup duty, as I have mentioned many a time.
Yeah, I was more inferring, like, who would you rather have as a coach? Doesn't matter, like, what the team situation is, yada, yada, like, prime coaching, who would you rather take? So, you would lean Carroll, though?
Yeah, like, tilt.
I'd say the same thing as well. Nice. That was fun. I had a great time with that. I'm going to have a great time with this, too.
Do you want to jump right to MVP, Chris, by the way, after
yeah,
this?
That's
because
that's
I feel like we don't need any break.
No, we don't. That's what I was looking to do. I was losing my words for a second there. MVP.
MVP, yeah, let's run it.
Let's do it. Floor is yours.
Thank you. You're very generous. Now, I know this is a bold take because everybody says, I like Lamar to get revenge. Oh, maybe Allen will repeat. He's motivated. Or Mahomes going to reclaim his throne. To which I say to you, what about Joe Burrow? This man last season statistically was the best quarterback in the NFL and got zero love for it because the Bengals defense decided to pull a disappearing act. You think Burrow's going to take that lion down? He's going to come back and I would imagine be just as good as last year. Now that Chase and Higgins are paid, he's ready to just fully let it rip. And the defense, I don't think it could get much worse. Of course, without Trey Hendrickson, that's going to be something. But they did get rid of Lou Anarumo, which you never know. That could be good for them.
Could be good. Could also be bad.
But true. But Lou Anarumo captained one of the worst defenses in the league last year. Don't get it twisted, man. So yeah. I will say this, though. Last year, and I know I got a lot of hate for this opinion, mostly from you guys, but I forgive y'all. If Joe Burrow made the playoffs last year, slam dunk, he is, not even won the division, then slam dunk, he is MVP. Like I said, because statistically, he was the best. most completions, most passing yards, most passing touchdowns. And I think he's going to do it again.
I agree. My MVP for my MVP prediction is going to be Lamar Jackson. I wouldn't say it's in like the same regard as like, oh, Lamar's going to get his revenge. It's just efficiency. That's all it is. My one thing about Burrow is like, what if the same exact thing happens? What if the same last year, this year goes off again, and the Bengals just put up a stinker of a season? Like, yeah, you can make the argument that he could still win MVP as a seven seed, which, in my personal opinion, I feel like he should win at that point. Like, he could have if they had made the playoffs last year. But with Lamar Jackson, he is statistically one of the most efficient quarterbacks in the league, if not the most efficient quarterback in the league, in terms of completion percentage, just touchdowns to interceptions. It's almost like a running Aaron Rodgers type of thing. That's how ridiculous the stats are for Lamar. And I just see him doing the same exact thing. But he's done basically the same exact thing every single year. Not a ton of turnovers, yeah. A lot of touchdowns, whether it be passing or rushing. And he leads his team to the playoffs, usually as a top two seed. And I don't see that, or I see that happening again. And we've had this discussion many times too. A lot of times the MVP award just goes to the quarterback that has the best overall record. So, and I guess this is me saying that the Ravens are going to win the AFC North, and this is going to be how it happens. And Tuck would probably kiss me if he heard me saying this right now.
I would imagine so.
Yeah. Not saying that I disagree that Joe Burrow is going to win MVP. Like, I think he has a great shot at it. I think that if Lamar Jackson and the Baltimore Ravens didn't exist, I think Joe Burrow would be a shoo-in. He would be the odds-on favorite. Who's the odds-on favorite right now for MVP?
You keep going. I'll tell you in a sec.
Yeah, I'll look it up.
No, Chris, I'm doing. Keep going, man.
Where was I? Yeah. So, if the Ravens and Lamar Jackson don't exist, then it should be Joe Burrow, and it's just a branch.
It's Lamar Jackson, by the way, Chris. It's Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, Joe Burrow, Patrick Mahomes, and then Jaden Daniels.
I like that. I like that a lot. I like that a lot. I don't know why, but hearing Jaden Daniels as like a top five MVP guy kind of got me all giddy and shit.
What about Drake May? No, I'm kidding.
Just about to say, I hope Drake May gets there at some point, but
same.
That'll be interesting too. Like, if you, all right, let's forget about the guys that we just said, right? Mm-hmm. Dark horse MVP candidate.
Dark Don't horse. Say Drake No. Oh, okay. No, I was going to say CJ Stroud is my dark horse. What about you?
Honestly, I probably would have said Jaden Daniels if he wasn't top five in MVP odds. I could honestly see Baker Mayfield maybe being a dark horse.
I respect it.
Because, like, I can't think of how many touchdowns he had. Last year, he had, like, near 40, and that was without Chris Godwin, without Mike Evans for like a whole month of the season. Really, the receiver room in general was kind of depleted at one point. And you had to rely on Kate. I love Kate Otten, but he had to rely on Kate Otten for a good month of the season. Now he's got a full house. So that's kind of where I'm thinking.
Yeah, I hear you. I do. I mean, Baker was another good pick.
Yeah. I hope for a little parity. Like, I hope for that. Not in, like, the sense of, like, Lamar or Josh Allen or Mahomes or any of those top guys get, like, injured or someone. Like, a very natural parity. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It would be Jordan Love. They could make Toyota-thon 300. Yeah.
Toyota-thon from September, from the second weekend of September to the, what is it, the second weekend of February? Second Sunday of February? Yeah. That'd be funny. Other news in the NFL world. Terry McLaurin making some interesting comments. More or less, it's just him expressing his frustration about not getting his extension because, like most wide receivers, he wants to get the bag, or like most people in general, he wants to get the bag. So that's kind of where his frustration has been. This has kind of been a thing for the majority of the offseason now.
Yeah. Look, and I know the rumor mill's churning and they're saying things like, oh, he wants to leave. Oh, this team's in the hunt for him. Oh, they could realistically trade him. How many times has this actually happened where a player's upset about an extension and they don't get it and then they're traded? What was the ratio on that? Because usually they just end up signing an extension and the team makes it work. Do you know why? Because nothing ever happens.
Yeah. This like popped up in my mind because I was out to lunch and saw this on Pat McAfee Fox. Apparently Ben Johnson having a very strict program in Chicago Bears camp right now, which
good, not a surprise.
Yep, they need it. And this was just a Roma Dunze quote, and it was like, this is great. This is what we need. Accountability. That was like the main thing. Accountability is what we need. And the first thing I thought of was, well, no shit. Mike Vrabel's doing the same fucking thing in New England. So
every NFL team is doing that except for like Miami and probably Indy.
Yeah. In terms of legal stuff, can't believe we have two things on the legal docket. Jordan Addison, what is it, court today or something like that? Either way, they're hearing his case.
It'll be over fast. Don't worry.
I'm not going to get into the details of the case because I don't even know the details of the case, but if he is found guilty, then he's suspended for three games. Cool. And then the bigger story of the weekend was Quinshon Judkins, the second round pick for the Browns, being arrested over the weekend on a domestic violence charge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and down in Florida he was.
Yeah. Browns haven't even signed him to a contract yet, but I'd love to see how that one ends up unfolding. But that is all the scheduled content that we have for tonight's episode. CJ, anything else you want to throw out there?
Nope. On a personal level, I don't think it should matter whether or not Addison's found guilty. He very clearly did it, so whatever. A verdict ain't going to change that. He did it, but... That's the NFL, kids.
That's the NFL, and this has been another episode of the Fumble Risky Podcast. Thanks for tuning in, of course. New episode coming out next Tuesday at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Be sure to follow all of our everywhere that we post in terms of putting the episode out there in terms of YouTube, Spotify, Spreaker, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Google Podcasts, you name it, we're on it. Be sure to follow our Instagram page, FumbleRisky_podcast. Keep up with the latest content.